tonight we are hosting a fun and spoilerific tea party. We do hope you choose to participate. Hello, and welcome to Ace Detective Adam, a very successful spin-off of Hidden Tea Party.
I'm back. I'm still here, you know, despite it all.
Despite everything, you're still Adam.
Look, there are very... there's a lot of things that I'm not necessarily aware of in these, you know, tumultuous times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing that is abundant and clear is that I am still Adam.
I'm Courtney. I'm the witch of video games. Pronouns she, her.
She is still Courtney. I am still Adam. Pronouns... probably he, him. For now, we'll go he, him. Why not?
Why not? Bit quirky. We don't have any he, hims on the main pod, so...
Look, there's a lot of ways to be quirky, but it takes something to be quirky... as a cisgendered man, you know? Right? Like just a quirked up little white boy. And I may be busting it down sexual style. We'll see. We got...
I mean, is anything sexier than solving hit visual novel Lumen Echo?
Yeah, so for all of our dear audio listeners who are not currently living in mine or Courtney's head, at approximately... 20 minutes to 4 in the morning last night, as I am in a paracetamol drugged up stupor, suffering from some kind of cold, I DM Courtney saying, Courtney, I'm not well right now, but I think I've solved the epitaph. So now we're here, and yeah. I'm still not 100%. I don't think it's COVID. I have a COVID test here. If we wanna have a fun gimmick where Adam does a COVID test mid.
Ooh, live.
Yeah, like a live
Ooh.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, also maybe you need to be in a drugged up state to get into like the mind of the author of Human Echo.
Yeah, you know, like if anything, I'm not enough, right? I can't remember what the guy's name. The guy doesn't have a name, right? He goes by his...
He's Ryukishi 07.
Yeah. Because...
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, which I assume is where the 07 in 07th expansion comes from.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ryukishi is Japanese for the Dragon Knight or Dragoon from Final Fantasy.
From... Oh my god, from the hit Momorphaga? Final Fantasy 14? A Realm Reborn?
I think it's from Final Fantasy 11, actually, but hey, I'll take the promo.
There's not a free trial for Final Fantasy 11. You just have to buy the whole game. Which one's 11 again?
It's the old MMO. The one that's basically like EverQuest, but on the PlayStation 2. This is Future Courtney saying I lied and it's actually Final Fantasy 5. Please don't come for me.
Umen Echo. It's a visual novel. It's the hit visual novel.
You read it, you love it. Adam hasn't read it.
Everyone's reading it. I'm not reading it. But everyone's reading it.
Everyone is reading it.
So I get back in my silly little document. I mean, that's a good question. Do we want to... Oh, yes, sorry. I have some amendments. Where's my phone? Where I made notes on my phone of amendments. From the previous episode.
From the previous episode.
So clearly, you know, everyone sat there. Everyone sat there at home. You know, you sat there, you're listening to the podcast, you're thinking, how can this guy be so incompetent? Right, you know, right? Most incompetent man since Balor.
See, if Roan was a man, they'd be giving you a run for your money, I think.
Oh, for sure. That's why I specified man. So I listened back to my own voice for an hour, which was its own kind of hell. But
I think you have a beautiful voice, Adam.
Sure thing, Courtney. so we hang on. Let me just get like a gamer setup where I have myself and Courtney's faces on one half of my screen, and then Microsoft Paint on the other half. Or the Adam Mysteries document, which is great because it lets me read Umin Echo without reading Umin Echo. So since we last recorded, there are more red truths in this document now, which are irrelevant because I've solved Umin Echo. We're done. This is the last episode of Ace Detective Adam. We're done here.
Well, apart from the fact I haven't put all the mysteries on there yet, but you know,
I don't need any more mysteries, Courtney. I've done it.
You
can stop. We're good. Is there any more in the initial spiel? No, we had Corridorian. No, we had... it's definitely dead. This is the world of 1967. We do be living in a world. One thing that I do notice that Courtney did, in fact, point out is that there are no more than 17 humans on this Rockin' Jima and every Rockin' Jima.
Yes.
Because it's fucking Kinzo. Kinzo dead. Kinzo's been dead the whole time.
Yeah, Kinzo kicked the bucket before the roughly 2 years before the game started. Yeah. Turns out Krauss and Natsuhi were covering it up because they'd been embezzling his funds, and it all would have come out if like they had to a reading of the will. And because no one else ever really comes to the island outside of the family conference, they've just been covering it up.
Not the shotgun elf. The shotgun elf has been doing a bit of embezzlement?
I guess for, well, her husband has, and she's been covering it up.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
She didn't know he was doing embezzlement, to be fair. So, of the people who definitely know Kinzo is dead,
yes.
Krauss, Natsuhi, Shannon, Kanon, and Genji, Kumasawa, and Nanjo. So basically all the servants except Goda, who,
sure is a chef. Sure is a very important character, as I mentioned in my previous spiel.
It's very funny, because apparently he just makes food for Kinzo anyway, and my assumption is that the servant who takes up his food just eats the food because Kinzo's not there to actually eat it.
He's feeding it to the dog.
go to five-star hotel food just going down the drain.
Yeah, he used to work at a fancy hotel. That's all I know about him. That's the only character.
The other family members have their suspicions of Kinzo being dead, but like no, there's no confirmation other than the people I just listed. So,
So my my main gripe with my previous thing that I was too boneheaded to realize, just a real bimbo moment. So with the people dead in the garden shed, there's the specification that everyone has their heads fully carved in, with the exception of Krauss and Shannon, who only have half their heads carved in, caved in.
Yeah.
They're also the only two people of the six people who are dead whose significant others are still alive.
Yes.
So it's like a metaphor, right?
Ooh.
So like Krauss has half of his head caved in because Natsui's still alive. And Shannon has half her face caved in because her pedophile husband is still alive.
Sadly.
But like, pull one out. But like Rudolph and his the horny wife, we'll go with Kairi because I can't pronounce that in a similar way that I will pronounce Beatrice as Beatrice. They both have their full heads caved in because they're both dead, and Goda has his whole head caved in because no one loves him because he's just a side character who makes food, and now they're all gonna starve. And Rosa is...
Oh, fun fact, they Rosa. Do start eating things from cans now that, like, there's a serial killer on the island, because they're like, what if you poison the food? Let's start eating some canned food.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downgrade from your five-star chef.
They're so smart.
And you're right. Rosa's single, and she got left by Maria's father, so...
Exactly.
Sucks to be her.
It sucks to be her. But yeah, that's the one thing that I noticed.
That's some good metaphorical shit. I never thought about that. I like that, though.
Exactly. I'm so... I don't have any space in my head for how big my fucking brain is. It's expanding, and it hurts. That's why I have a headache, right?
Because I'm
full of Umen Echo. I'm just full to the brim, right?
Do you ever think about the people who had to spend, like, hours doing all the voice dialogue for this game? Because every line of dialogue is voiced.
Every line of dialogue is voiced. This thing is longer than the Bible.
Yeah, the narration isn't voiced, but like every like spoken line of dialogue
is. I mean, who cares then, right? You know, like if you're gonna be that in depth but not go for the full thing, what's the point really? anyway, that's the main amendment that I had. Let's move on to the epitaph as I share an MS Paint screen with Courtney.
Ooh.
And we'll then talk through my reasoning. So here we have the epitaph, just in case anyone has forgotten. I will read it once more. Behold the sweet fish river running through my beloved hometown. You who seek the golden land, follow its path downstream in search of the key. No comments on this as of yet. I'll read the whole thing and then I'll start just slicing in this thing, like Goda slicing it into like a cantaloupe or something. As you travel down it, you will see a village. In that village, look for the shore the two will tell you of. The one who obtains the key must then travel to the Golden Land in accordance with these rules. On the first twilight, offer the six chosen by the key as sacrifices. On the second twilight, those who remain shall tear apart the two who are close. On the third twilight, those who remain shall praise my noble name. On the fourth twilight, gouge the head and kill. On the fifth twilight, gouge the chest and kill. On the sixth twilight, gouge the stomach and kill. On the seventh twilight, gouge the knee and kill. On the eighth twilight, gouge the leg and kill. Notice how feet is not used at any point, so this either is damning confirmation that Mr. Umen Echo Author Man absolutely has a foot fetish, or that he doesn't absolutely have a foot fetish.
It's a Schrodinger's cat.
It's Schrodinger's foot fetish. title of the episode. On the ninth twilight, we did it. We're how many minutes in? Who cares? On the ninth twilight, the witch shall revive, and none shall be left alive. On the tenth twilight, at journey's end, you shall attain to the power of the Golden Land's treasures once and for the last time. The witch shall praise the wise and bestow four treasures. One shall be all the gold from the Golden Land. One shall be the resurrection of all the dead souls. One shall be the resurrection of the love that was lost. Hopefully, that's not the pedophile in Shannon. One shall be put to sleep. One shall be to put the witch to sleep for all time. As per our previous episode, that's death. She's going to die. Sleep peacefully, my beloved witch, Beatrice.
Good for her.
Good for her. Work.
Hunty. Slay.
Exactly. So, now, since this has been rattling around in my brain for a couple of months at this point, I think it is a couple of months.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
Timeline.
Yeah, you can see that. So, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Now, I don't know how much of this I mentioned in the previous episode, even though I listened to it yesterday. I don't think I mentioned any of it, so I'm just going to go through it. Just the whole way. So most of my deductions, deducing, shall we say, is to do with the counting section of, we're going to call it the counting section of the epitaph, from the first twilight to the tenth twilight. So we know that we're looking for some sort of word or passphrase. Now, the fact that they go through the specifics of gouging the head and kill, the chest and kill, the stomach and kill, the knee and kill, and the leg and kill is clearly to do with in-game mechanics, such as that's how characters die. They've got the fucking spikes impaled in various body parts. However, sorry, I'm trying to find my mouse. What that also kind of strikes me as is that it's five, the answer to the epitaph is five letters long. And right. the gouging this and killing is the act of inputting a letter in the answer into wherever you have to put this fucking five-letter answer. So, answer five letters. So then we have, on the first Twilight, we offer the six chosen by the key as sacrifices. So we have six letters that we will remove from our initial word to obtain a five-letter word, which is our answer. So we're looking for a word that is 11 letters long.
Of which
six letters will be removed, leaving us with five. Now, also originally, I worked out that. So since we're offering six chosen by the key of sacrifices, and then there's the whole the two those who remain shall tear apart the two who are close. I'm pretty sure that means that it can only be like 11 or 13 letters long is like the original, based on just how things shake up, that a word of a certain length after removing six letters, that you would be left with two who are close and then five of the other stuff. So we're looking for something. But it's way easier to just say it's 11 letters, because I think the word is 11 letters long. And the reason that I think 11 letters is long is to do with the wording of the 10th Twilight, which, as I did point out in the previous episode, is like weirdly specific about you shall attain to the power of the Golden Lance treasures once and for the last time. So trying to figure out what the U is, but whatever the U is then raised to the power of the Golden Lance treasures, which is four, once and for the last time. So you raise it to the power of four, and then you raise it to the power of four again. So the problem then is trying to figure out what number to use. I was thinking, you know, like, what are priest? It can't be one, right? Because one to the power of four to the power of four is one. That's how one works. It's kind of it's a basic bitch of mathematics, you know. Work.
Counting.
We love to see it. So then I ran it through with 10, because there are 10 Twilights, and 10 is the closest I can get to one, whilst also having some interesting shit going on with multiplication, right? Like, 10 to the power of 4 to the power of 4 is, like, an amount of zeros. I don't know exactly how much, but the eventual number is, it's big. It's like, it's 1,000 to the power of 4. No, sorry, it's 10,000 to the power of 4, which is 10 with, it's 1 and then 16 zeros after it. So let's just...
That's a lot of zeros.
Let's just write 16 zeros. For all of our audio listeners, I'm currently writing 16 zeros in an MS Paint document, and then we'll put in some commas. So that's 1, that's 2, that's 3, that's 4, that's 5, and that's 6. So it's like 100, 1,000, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. 10 quadrillion. Now, originally I was like, what a overly specific number. And then I started talking to Rowan. We were sat in a wonderful coffee shop, as I'm sat sipping on a mocha. And Rowan mentions that they keep bringing up the word quadrillion later on in the book. And then I realize that the word quadrillion has exactly 11 letters. And then it all starts sort of falling into place. So this is our initial 11-letter word. It's the word quadrillion.
So I'm gonna tell you this about Umineko. There's a special chapel on the island that no one's allowed to go into that Kinzo built.
We mentioned this in our previous thing. It's the three important places on the island. It's the shed, it's somewhere else, and it's the chapel that only the servants have access. Or there's, like, they're locked.
A special key for. Yeah. And it says at the top, this door is opened only at a probability of quadrillion to one. In English.
That information is cool. Alright, sick. my genuine reaction to that information. Huh, yeah, I'm right. We haven't used our first Twilight yet, but we've used our 10th Twilight, right? We know what this is for. We're good. The logical way of going about solving this would then be to use the information in the first 6 lines about the whole Sweetfish River and looking for a shore, and using that information to find a 6-letter word. And then removing that and then shuffling.
This is as much as the character's surmise in a recent reading.
Exactly. But that's boring. So why do that when we could just shortcut right to the answer? So
go on. I'm losing it slightly.
So the word Golden Land comes up here a lot. And that, as I mentioned in a previous episode, reminds me of very specific things. That is to say, hi, it's the Adam Mysteries document. But more importantly than the Adam Mysteries document is the Eldritch Yugipedia page. That's right, I'm going to solve the epitaph with the power of Yu-Gi-Oh, Courtney. You can't stop me. Now, the reason that this is especially important is that there's a bunch of cards in this archetype that are Golden Land related. Now, clearly this must mean that it's based on Umineko, right? Obviously. That makes sense, right? Courtney's face is currently wonder and amazement. That's right, fucking whatever your name is, Mr. Seven Man. I solved your epitaph with fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! We're all allowed our toxic things that we're interested in. So anyway, if we go back to the epitaph, there's a bit that was weirdly sort of sticking out to me. So it's at this point that Courtney maybe realized that I might have been bluffing and I'm fed up with the epitaph, and this is my joke solution. Anyway, specifically there's a point in the third Twilight of those who remain shall praise my noble name. So this is after removing the 6 letters chosen by the key's sacrifices, and then after tearing apart the 2 who are close, so we have just 5 letters. And specifically the phrasing of noble name to me implies that anything that is like a noble title should stick out. So we go back to the Eldritch Yugipedia page, very, very important within the context of solving Umineko. If any of you haven't found this website yet, sorry, but I'm built different. And there's a lot of the Golden Lands thing. There's a guardian. There's a huaquero. There's a conquistador. But I don't think any of those are noble words. What there is an Eldritch the Golden Lord, who is the boss monster of the archetype. However, golden is 6 letters long, and lord is 4 letters long. And golden can't be made with the letters in quadrillion, but lord can. So what I did was, I took quadrillion, and then I sort of took out the letters that could be, so it's not Q, it's not U, it's not A, but it is D, and it is R. So there's the 2 who are close, and it's not I, and then it could be either of the L's, but based on the way that it's actually set up, it doesn't make a difference, right? Like, I'll show you. So if we assume it's the first L, and then it's not the I, and then it is the O, and then it's not the N. Or alternatively, it could also be DR-L-0-, which means the only place that we can still have letters in here, if it is Lord and then, like, a single letter, would be either of the first two letters. So either Q or U, assuming that, again, because we have D and R together, which means they have to be torn apart. So we can't have this A. So this is the A. We can't have this I. We can't have this L or this I or this N. So it has to be one of either the Q or the U. And I was like, well, Adam, that's an incredibly hyper specific way of going about this thing to solve it. But I have some deep podcast lore for you, dear listener. I was originally meant to be on the regular podcast, with, you know, where we read Human Echo and then discuss how bad of a visual novel it is. But I ended up not doing that because I didn't get around to, like, reading it, because at the same time, this wonderful game came out called Elden Ring. And so I spent all of my time playing Elden Ring, and I assumed that that was a sign from the gods, that instead of playing this bad game, Human Echo, I should play a good game, Elden Ring. But little did I know, they were giving me the solution to the epitaph, because what's the point of Elden Ring? You become the fucking Elden Lord. That's also a lord. Coincidence? Yes, almost definitely. However, it is a solution, which means I've narrowed down the actual answer to this shit to fucking four answers, which is either we put the letter at the start of the word, so we either have Q Lord, U Lord, or Lord Q, or Lord U. So that's four answers. And then it's just trying to figure out which of these make sense within the context of Human Echo. And this is kind of as far as I got. Human Echo starts with a U, so clearly the answer is U Lord, standing for Human Echo Lord, which is me. I'm the Lord of Human Echo. Fuck it. That's my answer, Courtney. I'm right, aren't I?
So, I'm gonna say this because this is a spoiler episode. So I will give you the answer. I will reveal. I think you've done enough work where I can feel comfortable saying this.
Okay, cool.
It's Lord U.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's Lord U.
No.
I hate you so much, and I hope you know that right now. I hate this. This physically pains me. You solved the epitaph.
With Yu-Gi-Oh!
With Yu-Gi-Oh!
I solved the epitaph with Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
So wait, is the U short for Human Echo?
It's short for Shiromiya, which is the family name.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
But you did it. You did it. So, I'll give you some backstory on how it's supposed to be solved. If you're not brute forcing it, which you did, you brute forced it. Congratulations!
I brute forced it down to four answers and then picked the wrong of the four.
I love that. That's very on brand. Not Human Echo Lord.
Oh, Courtney, my chest hurts.
So the beloved hometown, which is revealed through hints throughout the visual novel, is Taiwan, where Kinzo grew up.
Right, and, you know, naturally I would then use my deep knowledge of Taiwanese geography.
So all the characters in Human Echo open up the atlas as soon as they work that out.
Right.
And use that to discover that the Sweetfish River is actually a train line rather than a literal river.
Oh, with the trains being the fish?
Yeah.
Yo.
Then they work out that there is a line called the Quillian line, which is the six-letter word that you use to remove the words. It's Q-I-L-I-A-N.
Because originally my thought process was, hey, like, when I was brute-forcing this, and I was, prior to, like, let me just shitpost this and make it about Yu-Gi-Oh! And Elden Ring, which I should have done from the start, really. But obviously. when I was brute-forcing it, I was like, well, I mean, clearly, obviously, Q and U are going to be in the same word together. There's no way that, you know, Umineko would have a six-letter word with a Q in it, but no U, and then a five-letter word with a U in it and no Q, if there's a Q to be used. But I should have expected as much from Mr. Seven, right? What? you know, everyone's going to think that the Q has a U next to it. What if I pick a word without a fucking Q in it? Anyway.
He couldn't get you.
He couldn't get me. Couldn't get me, because I play a children's trading card game.
Clearly should have thought ahead. Yeah. I did not know that Eldritch is maybe an Umineko reference. I hate that.
Yeah, one of the most oppressive control decks of the past 3-4 years of Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's also the Japanese scans for it being a Umineko reference. I hate that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they call it, because Golden Land is a translation of Ogonkyo, which is the same right. as how Umineko says Golden Land in the Japanese version. So,
and it's not that the word Golden Land is just translated the same in both instances. Clearly it's an Umineko reference.
Clearly it's an Umineko reference, yeah. I mean, everything's a Umineko. Is that a Umineko reference?
Me flipping an Elixir of Scarlet Sanguine. Yo, this is just like in hit visual novel Umineko.
Apparently, it is what the Japanese refer to El Dorado as, is Ogonkyo.
Right.
So, which would make sense.
Yeah. That's well. Fair. Anyway.
But yeah, you solved the epitaph. You've done it.
Episode 2.
You've done what my
the arcane
what my
truths,
co-hosts could not.
The arcane truths of reality revealed themselves to me, and I thought, huh, I've been neglecting children's card games the whole time.
So you may have solved the epitaph, but you haven't.
There's still completely other murders. So what did we do last time? Maria's Umbrella. It was a person dressed as Beatrice, probably one of Shannon or Canon. Mm-hmm. Or maybe both of them, because they're potentially the same person. Because I would like to point out, even though we have had the clarification that there are no more than 17 humans on this and every Rokkenjima, that's still saying no more. That's still not exactly. That's how equalities work, yeah?
There is still wiggle room for less.
There's still wiggle room for less, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Which, again, by pigeonhole principle, that means that either one of the characters is dressing up as Beatrice, or one of the non-Beatrice characters is the same as one of the other Beatrice characters.
Yes.
Math degree.
Because if someone sees Beatrice, then it's like, okay, we know there isn't a secret person, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
witches
two.
Aren't real. Who killed
garden
the six
shed.
Corpses in the garden shed?
So you've had got a new red truth here, which is all unidentified corpses are the guarantee of the identities of. So basically, there's no corpse double tricks. So even though all the faces are disfigured and you can't tell who it is, and it could be a different corpse in the clothes, it isn't. So.
But does that also... So who... Could there be, like, fuckery? Because originally I was like, maybe if I was going down the Shannon canon, they're the same person rabbit hole. Because Shannon's dead here, but she's dead
in
a section of the shed that only Canon and Hideyoshi see.
Yes, no one else sees her corpse.
Sure. So...
this Red Truth is designed because Battler was theorizing, like, what if Rudolph was not actually dead and had just arranged a double corpse?
Right. Which is not so true. This,
yeah.
He's dead. But yes. The only people that we can guarantee... So, it specifies that they guarantee the identities of all the unidentified corpses, but yes. Who is to say that there are six corpses?
Yes, there's never any confirmation that there are six corpses. So.
Anyway, the two who are close... So who did that? Probably some servant-related things. Right, so hang on. Who's where? I can't remember what my exact answer... I literally listened to the podcast last night. I've already forgotten what my answer was. Well, I mean,
this one's quite easy to accuse people of, because...
Yeah, Natsui was asleep. Eva and Hideyoshi were in the guest house shortly before the estimated murder time. Kinzo's unaccounted for.
Well, he's dead.
He's dead.
Kinzo's accounted for by death.
Yeah. all the other characters were in the guest house that's a short walk away from the mansion. Now, a short walk implies that any of the people in that house could have then wandered out.
This is during a typhoon, but, like, it's not so bad of a typhoon.
There's guns knocking about, you mentioned in the previous... Because Natsui has a fucking Winchester, right?
Yeah, Kinzo has guns. Kinzo has guns. Study.
Well, yeah. Kinzo doesn't have guns. There are guns in the house. Kinzo doesn't have anything. He's dead.
Oh, fun fact.
Rip to a real one, by the way.
We get some extra lore in the manga that is Kinzo's body is currently stuffed in the refrigerator in his study. And they put preservatives in there frequently, which is why the study smells so weird all the time.
The study smells weird? Cool.
Yeah, that's Umineko lore that comes up. Everyone keeps commenting on how weird his study smells.
It's because he's dead. He's in the fridge.
He's dead. They're like, it smells so, like, sickeningly sweet. And it's like, yeah, it's all the preservatives they're putting on him.
Yo, maybe Goda's involved in this. Maybe Goda's seasoning Kinzo.
Making Kinzo candy.
Is candy spelled with a K? Is it alliterative?
It's
alliterative irrespectful, because alliteration is based on sounds rather than letters. But... Kinzo candy, like Mortal Kombat lore, and this entire thing is actually taking place within the world of Mortal Kombat. Scorpion is the murderer.
I don't have any Red Truth against that, so.
Adam, you've done it again.
For this murder, Battler comes to the conclusion that kind of anyone could have done it. The only tricky bit is that you'd have to know about all the key shenanigans.
Sure. Which implies that some servants were involved. Yes. Given the fact that...
it was returned to its usual location.
It's just Hideyoshi and Kanon who see Shannon's body.
No one else sees Shannon's body. It's hidden at the back.
So Kanon being in on it totally makes sense. They're a servant. They have access to the key, they could have murdered people, and I don't know how strong the twink is to potentially lug people to the shed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they killed them in the shed, though...
There's blood in the dining room, but, like...
I was gonna say...
They could have planted the blood. There's no way of checking at any point if the blood's legit or not, because no one has any luminol, so...
Sure, but, like, everyone who's dead was in the house at the time, so it makes sense that someone just sort of went on a fucking murder spree and killed everyone in the house.
Yeah.
The dead person who was in the house, which is Kinzo,
And if you're a servant, I guess you have access to, like, the food and the drink, so if you want to, like, sedate people so you can kill them more easily, you can do that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, true. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. A lot of the servants are old, right? So maybe couldn't, not necessarily to be ageist here, but, you know, are we talking, like, couldn't carry a fucking dead body old, or?
I don't know. Genji's pretty active for his age.
Right.
Kumasawa probably.
The head servant. The head servant, right.
Yeah. Kumasawa not. She has bad back.
Right.
Sure.
So, somehow these six fuckers are killed in the dining room and kitchen with Gota ripped to a real one. So long. Good night, sweet prince. and then either the... Realistically, probably their bodies are dragged to the shed. Whether they're killed... Because, like, the heads are caved in. I suppose you could potentially... I don't know how caved in means, right? So much insofar that you could have hidden a bullet hole. That's assuming also that Nanjo isn't in on it, which he very well could be. You mentioned he knows that fucking Kinzo's dead, so, like...
Yeah, he does know that Kinzo's dead. He was the one who diagnosed Kinzo with death.
On God?
Yeah, and then Natsuhi, he was like, hey, maybe keep this on the DL, because I don't want my, my husband's embezzlement stuff coming out.
Right, sure. And so the easier way of dealing with those embezzlements is inviting all of the family to an island where you systematically murder them. Maybe.
Maybe.
Could be that's a strong motive. That's a strong motive. Anyway, so maybe even Hideyoshi are involved. Again, given the nature of Shannon and the fact that both Eva and Hideyoshi disapprove of them, maybe they're being blackmailed by the servants to go along with it. I can't really account for Eva and Hideyoshi, but I'm pretty sure that some manner of Shannon, Kanon, Genji, Nanjo, and the old lady that I can't remember the name of.
Kumasawa.
Did some fucking killing. It's one or more of them. Realistically, probably two, because it's easier to carry a dead body if you've got one person on one end and one person on the other end. Or maybe Genji's just a fucking unit, you know?
Genji could be pretty hench.
Anyway, the two who are close, Eva and Hideyoshi. This is the fucking locked room that makes things real fucking tricky.
I've also given you the red truth that Battler got at the end of episode 4.
Oh, shit. Both deaths were homicides. It's not the case that after the construction of the closed room, one of them committed suicide after committing murder. Furthermore, the murder was carried out with both the victim and the perpetrator in the same room. No method exists for the perpetrator to commit murder from outside the room.
Yeah.
Now, is it a translation thing where the victim and the perpetrator are in the same room? Is that specifically the closed room?
It's not specifically the closed room, but it is specifically...
The same room. So they could have killed them, moved them inside, and then done some way to lock the room.
The issue is you can't lock the...
You can't lock the room from the outside.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it was closed by a chain, and you can't draw the chain shut from the outside.
And it says murder singular. Is that meant to be plural murders? So both of the murders were carried out in the same room?
Yeah, I guess you could pluralize it. Yeah, that's probably a translation thing.
Sure. Because, again, that's what I... Like, with, like, hyper-specific things with wording...
Yeah, I'll clarify you on wording stuff if you need it, yeah.
So...
Because I know the solution. But, yeah, the main thing is that
even when Hideyoshi they discover... leave the group to go to the guest bedroom, Kanon and Genji later go to check on them, but find an envelope under the door. Eva and Hideyoshi don't respond. Unlocking the door with his master key, notices the chain has been drawn. He receives the bolt cutters with Kumasawa, while Genji calls everyone over to the room. When Kanon and Kumasawa return, a symbol is drawn on the door. So, something that I didn't point out last time is, is the bolt cutters... thing, do they cut the bolt on the chain with everyone present?
They do not.
So they could have just unlocked the door, cut the bolt, killed them, and then got everyone together.
Yeah, there was nothing stopping them from doing that.
Sure, so that's probably how they did it. because like otherwise there's like again there's no way to there's no one hidden in there. It's just the two of them, right? Like this is Brawl last time. It's just the two of them. They're both impaled. The only way that they could have done it is if the room wasn't a closed room to begin with, and that they were never. Whilst they were killed at the same time, the room wasn't locked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, at the point that it stops being a closed room, then they do a fucking murder.
Yeah.
There's also the weird fucking paint thing. Still don't get that. Anyway. And now we're back caught up from the last episode. Kanan and Kinzo. They're dead now. I mean, Kinzo's been dead the whole time, so yeah. that makes this now half a problem. The bodies are found in the boiler room. Kanan's found lying in a pool of blood with a chest wound. There's a stake next to him. Kinzo is found inside the incinerator, burnt beyond recognition. I mean, that's just how you preserve something and then you cook it. That's how cooking works, right? They're just having some, you know, pan fried Kinzo for dinner. Because Goat is dead, so fuck it. We've got to get creative with our food. Let's eat Grandad. One thing else that I haven't asked is, do we know who Mrs. Ushuramaya is?
Oh, Kinzo's wife. She's been dead prior to Kinzo dying.
But like, so do any of the kids know who their mom is?
They do. They grew up with her. She reportedly had suspicions that Kinzo was cheating on her, but never got any confirmation.
Cheating on her with a witch? Anyway.
Yeah, that was the vibe. And also, it was an arranged marriage. Fun fact. Spicy. So was Ava and Hideyoshi. That was an arranged marriage.
And now they're dead. Don't get arranged marriages, kids. Although, you'll die.
The novel heavily implies that they had sex before dying, so good for them.
Respectable, you know? Look, if I'm going to be murdered, I want to have sex before.
Oh, yeah.
Who killed Kanan and Kinzo? There's a Kinzo's found inside the incinerator, burned beyond recognition, and is identified by Genji, who is not a doctor, who notes that the corpse has six toes. That's a character trait of Kanan.
Kinzo.
Kinzo has six toes. His corpse has a stake lodged in his head. Huh. So he also has head impaled stake.
Yes.
Because I assumed it would at this point then move on to the next one, which is chest. What stake does Kinzo have in his head? Because the other two had lust and gluttony.
I'm trying to remember what stakes it was. It will say in the credits. It always says in the credits. Let me get the LP up. This is why you always have the LP up, Courtney. Forehead gouged by the stake of Mammon, so greed.
Greed. And then I assume Kanan is also impaled with a stake, so.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
Chest gouged by the stake of Satan, so wrath.
Interesting. A lot of these are like, well, I wasn't expecting that. Does this say more about the character than I necessarily thought? Like, Kinzo being greed makes sense. Motherfucker's got gold. All rich people are greedy. But I wouldn't have pegged Kanan as wrath.
I guess he does yell at some golden butterflies before he dies, so.
Don't we all? We've all been there. Right, ladies? We've all yelled at golden butterflies before dying. Foul smell emanates from somewhere following the deaths of either and Hideyoshi. Kanan and Kumasawa go to investigate. They hear the sound of the boiler door slamming, and Kanan heads into the boiler room. We are shown a scene of a swarm of golden butterflies launching a stake into Kanan's chest, which he then pulls out. When the rest of the group arrive, Kanan is lying in a pool of blood. Nanjo and Genji take him to the servants' room and try and save his life, but report back that they were unsuccessful. So he's not dead when they arrive.
No, he's not. He's still alive when they arrive.
and he pulls out the stake from his chest. So is there like just a gaping fucking wound?
Yeah, gaping like chest wound. Yeah.
Sure. The smell in the boiler room is due to Kinzo's corpse being inside this incinerator. Kinzo has polydactyl, which means he has extra toes. So Genji identifies the corpse using this. There are two entrances to the boiler room, one from the house and one from the outside. Cannon came via the one from the house. The entrance from the outside is unlocked and open when the others arrive. So this happens how soon after Eva and Hideyoshi are dead?
Basically almost immediately. They do a bit of investigating of the room and then like...
Kinzo having his head impaled as well implies that he was killed at the same time as the other two, or killed at the same time as the other two. That is to say, dragged out of his fridge and then spiked in the head.
They also only notice that like he's in the incinerator when the smell comes from burning a body.
Right. And the incinerator, I assume, is down below, so they could have distracted people by calling them upstairs to see Eva and Hideyoshi's dead body while Kinzo's being flame-grilled.
Yeah, it's also possible that they killed Eva and Hideyoshi, put Kinzo in the incinerator and just waited for the smell to emanate, because they knew it would be pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah. At what point does... So, is everyone together with Eva and Hideyoshi's corpses when they get called up there until someone recognizes the smell?
Yes, everyone is there.
Everyone
is with Eva and Hideyoshi's corpses.
So no one sneaks away at any point to do any fuckery before Cannon leaves to get impaled by butterflies.
Yeah.
Which means that they probably set Kinzo away on medium heat, 200 degrees, before going up to see Eva and Hideyoshi.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about when Kinzo was killed, because we know he's been dead the whole time. But they at some point haul his body down to the boiler room, which doesn't strike me as a place that most people would go other than servants, who, as previously mentioned, are in on it, with the exception of Goda, who's dead.
R.I.P. to a real one.
So they could have done that really at any point. Realistically, probably like the night before. Maybe they did it when everyone was kind of going about their business.
There's like plenty of time because the only thing they had to worry about is when he was going to start to smell.
Sure.
And there's quite a large unaccounted for time gap because the first murders are discovered in the morning and then Eva and Hideyoshi are not discovered till around dinner time. So,
right.
A lot of unaccounted for time.
So what they potentially could have done, which I assume they being the motherfuckers who killed Eva and Hideyoshi, which is Cannon and Genji with their bolt cutters, or Cannon and Kumisawa? Who's Kumisawa's? The woman.
Oh, right. The old servant, yeah.
Sure. Oh, well, yeah, sorry. Cannon and Kumisawa go to get the bolt cutters, but Genji doesn't go to get the bolt cutters.
Oh, so yeah.
Was hauling What's-His-Face's body down to the incinerator. Maybe Eva and Hideyoshi heard, which is why they were like, oh, well, fuck it. Kill. Who's to say? It's probably those three. It's always those three.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time, you know? They sat there in their bedroom fucking just getting it on, right? As Genji's just dragging the preserved corpse of a six-toed patriarch of the Ushirimaya family down to the incinerator to feed everyone. So the swarm of golden butterflies launching a stake into Cannon's chest. It says we are shown a scene of a swarm of golden butterflies, but that's not witnessed by Balor.
It's only witnessed by Cannon, yeah.
It's only witnessed by Cannon, so it could very well be trying to fuck with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As this game is known to do.
Just because we see something in-game as an observer does not mean that it fucking happened unless Battler sees it. Because Battler is the stand-in for the protagonist.
So
very clearly, because magic isn't real, Canon isn't killed. Canon isn't killed by a swarm of golden butterflies.
You're in a voice call with a witch and you deny magic? Interesting.
You're not a witch, Courtney. Speaking of which, if you want to help Courtney get out of her current economic hardships, please donate to patreon.com/hiddenteaparty. In addition to that, this episode is brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. You guys have heard of Raid.
This podcast has been sponsored by MeUndies. You know, you have regular underwears. But have you had real good underwears?
Oh,
boy, have I got some news for you.
That's right. And if you use our promo code, you'll get the fucking Ushirimaya family crest on the crotch of every piece of underwear. That's if you use code HiddenTeaParty at checkout.
Hi, if you use code GODA when checking out at HelloFresh, you will get one seasoned corpse of an Ushirimaya family patriarch.
No, what's the... There's the fucking, like, the steak sponsor. Like, a sponsor that's, like... I can't remember. Most of my podcast knowledge comes from, like, vague understanding of professional wrestling-related podcasts.
I love
and
that.
I seem to remember there being, like a fucking mail-order steak business that sponsored a podcast once. Anyway. Canon came in via the one in the house. The entrance from the outside is unlocked and open when the others arrive. Could very well be a red herring. All the remaining living characters were outside Eva and Hiddy. I asked you the question when I could have just read truth. All the remaining living characters were outside Eva and Hideyoshi's room at the time of the incident, granting them all alibis. When they say incident, they mean Kinzo dying, not Canon dying, because Canon can't die whilst being outside of Eva and Hideyoshi's room at the time of the incident, because that's not how that works. They can't kill Canon whilst Canon's still alive.
Yes.
Assuming that Canon's dead. Because again, the whole Nanjo and Genji take him to the servants' room to try and save his life, but then just tell everyone, we're very sorry, he's dead. That very much strikes me as cool, we've got rid of Canon's body so Canon can go to being full-time Beatrice, baby.
Interesting.
Assuming that Canon is Beatrice and that Shannon isn't Beatrice this whole time. Assuming that Canon isn't Shannon isn't Beatrice. That less than's doing a lot of fucking work. It's doing a whole lot of work, Courtney. So, relevant red truths. All of the survivors have alibis. Let us include the dead as well. In short, no kind of human or dead person on the island could have killed Canon. So they're not dead. Canon did not commit suicide. Canon did not die in an accident. Kinzo is already dead at the starting time for all games. So this is known. We know Kinzo's dead. Kinzo isn't the problem here. Kinzo's very dead. Kinzo's crispy. Kinzo's fucking roasting right now. For all of our audio listeners, Courtney just proceeded to lick her fingers as if cooking into a box of KFC.
Kinzo fried chicken.
KFK, Kentucky Fried Kinzo.
Kentucky Fried Kinzo.
What's the fucking island called again?
Rokkenjima.
RFK. Rokkenjima Fried Kinzo. Title of the episode. We all know the title of the episode is Ace Detective Adam Part 2.
I might add a subtitle.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I have the power. I can do that.
Yeah,
I'm
unstoppable. We love a sequel that isn't just name 2, but is instead name subtitle. Yeah, so all of the survivors have alibis. No kind of human or dead person on the island could have killed Canon. Canon did not commit suicide, and Canon did not die in an accident. Mm-hmm. Okay, at no point is there a red truth saying that Canon's dead. So the answer is no one killed Canon. They're not dead. Now, this very much could be dispelled by the fact that they have a gaping chest wound. I don't know how gaping that chest wound is. I don't know if we have an image of how gaping that chest wound is.
We don't have an image in the game. There's probably something in the manga, but...
Right.
Well, yeah, we don't... No one really examines it in detail, I guess.
Right. Also, how quickly does Genji and Nanjo take Kanon away to try... Is it like an immediately like a, oh, they could still be alive?
I think it's an immediate, like...
So that no one pays enough time to the body, which is not dead.
Yeah, he's sort of immediately discovered. Genji's there with him, and I think Genji and Nanjo haul him off.
Cool. Really, I should have answered this question in the last podcast, because the fact that Kinzo's fucking dead the entire time kind of just... It makes this one quite quick.
Yeah, it right? does. Like... I thought you should know, because... I don't want you laboring under false assumptions about Kinzo.
You should have let me labor under false assumptions and then just said when I start to go on a Mystery 5. Oh, by the way, did you know there's been a red truth? Kinzo's been dead the whole time. Like, thanks, time. Courtney.
Should have done that. You're right.
Mystery
5.
Shall
we move on to Mystery 5, yeah.
The singing girl who committed the final murders. Note, all of the corpses had their face smashed, similar to Mystery 2. So the only people who haven't had their faces smashed... Hideyoshi and Eva.
And Kanon.
And Kanon. Well, and Kinzo, but Kinzo's fucking char-grilled.
Yeah.
Genji has a stake in his stomach, Nanjo in his knee, and Kumisawa in her leg. So, Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa all die.
Yes.
The remaining survivors... hole up in Kinzo's study, which cannot be unlocked with a master key. The group possesses both keys to the study, which auto locks. However, when Natsui, Battler, George, and Jessica aren't looking, a strange letter is placed on the table, claiming to be from Miyatoriichi. Natsui flies into a rage, accusing the servants and Maria of placing the letter, and expels them from the study. Later, the study group gets a phone call from the lounge, despite the line supposedly being down. On the other end is Maria singing a nursery rhyme. The group hurries down to the lounge, which they unlock with a master key, where they discover Maria, facing a wall, singing a song. Also, inside the room are the corpses of Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa. When questioned, Maria says that Beatrice told her to face the wall and sing. The children investigate, but notice Natsui's missing, and that there is a strange letter on the ground, calling her to the foyer for duel. We are shown a scene of Natsui shooting a swarm of golden butterflies, only to be shot back. When the children find Natsui, she's dead from a gunshot wound. The clock then strikes midnight, and the chapter ends stating that there were no survivors of the Rokkenjima massacre. And then a lot of red truths.
Yeah.
Maria, who was in the same room, did not kill them. And, of course, their three deaths were homicides. I guarantee the identities of all unidentified corpses, therefore there were no body double tricks. In this episode, Genji, Kumisawa, and Nanjo are not killers. Natsui's death was a homicide, there are no unidentified corpses, and all of the survivors have alibis. The bullet buried into Natsui's forehead was not fired from her gun. The thing that shot Natsui wasn't a trap. It was a real shooting murder with a gun raised and trigger pulled. Right. So let's get Natsui out of the way. She's killed by one of the people who are dead but are not dead. So either Kanon or Shannon, under my current assumption. One of the two of them may be dressed as Beatrice, maybe not. Fucking quick draws the bitch, killing her immediately with one of the many guns on the island, which are not just the gun that Natsui has. So then we get into the slightly harder thing, which is Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa. So the remaining survivors at this point up until Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa die, are those three. Natsui, who is the shotgun MILF, Battler, George, and Jessica, who are the three third-generation Ushurimaya siblings who all hang out together.
Cousins.
Who spend a lot of time together, according to the what you said in the previous episode. And Maria is the little girl who was given, has previously been given a letter by Beatrice and an umbrella.
Yeah. And insisted it was Beatrice the whole time.
And insisted that it was, in fact, Beatrice the whole time.
Yeah, and got really mad, and all the adults told her that wasn't possible. She's 9, and very small, so even if it hadn't been Red Truth that she didn't do the murders, it's very unlikely she would have been able to.
Yeah. So the phone call being a thing, despite the lines being down... I mean, considering the three people who are dead in this are three people who I had sort of painted a bit of a red mark on as these people are probably doing the murders. If anything, all that kind of explains is that the phone lines probably weren't taken out by the typhoon, but were instead manually taken out by one of the servants at the start of this whole thing to make their job easier.
Fair enough.
Is Natsui Krause's wife?
Yes.
Right. So she's the one who knows about all of the embezzling of the funds.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Because the main thing is, if Genji and Nanjo and Kumisawa have all been helping with the murders this entire time, why would they willingly let themselves be killed now? Unless they weren't willingly letting themselves be killed.
Well, even. Unless they were, like, backstabbed.
Yeah. So, whoever's still dead but not dead but alive, either Canon or Shannon. Because, like, the thing that's weird to me is that in the last mystery, it's very much set up so that... Canon can die but not die, right? Can be written off as dead to most people and still be free to go about Beatricing it up with a gun, probably.
Probably.
But then the fact that they would cover them up only for them to then, the only other thing that they've done at this point is kill the people who helped them cover up their own death. Which is, like, I mean, possible, but, like, that's a bit too renegade for me, I'm not gonna lie. Right? Like, thanks for helping me cover up my own murder. Here's your prize. Bang.
Hey, you know, there are worse rewards. Maybe Genji was like, you know, I've had enough, had a good life, had a good run. Tell you what, cover up your murder if you give me something dramatic to do.
unless it was originally not meant to be those three that died, but they still needed to kill.
Yeah, I suppose that's something is the study group is pretty secure.
And if Canon or Shannon, person dressed up as Beatrice, is sort of bouncing about the place and can't access the study to kill anyone. Maybe if they're so deluded in that the epitaph must be followed to the letter, well, fuck it, I've got to kill three people. And given the choice of murdering this child, maybe the child was already a part of the plan anyway. And they were originally meaning to kill Battler George and Jessica in place of Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa. To then subsequently challenge Natsui to a duel and kill her there, meaning that the four of them who are probably doing the murders and the 9-year-old are all left alive. But if the 9-year-old... I don't know.
So I do have... We did get some red truth in the one of our more recent readings about Beatrice's motivations. I mean, okay, this is all red truth. Beatrice had nothing to gain from someone solving the epitaph. In the first place, all the gold of the Golden Land belongs to Beatrice. She had no need to make you find it for her or to snatch it away herself. Whether the epitaph's riddle is solved or not, Beatrice stands nothing to gain at all. Battler isn't the culprit. Battler didn't kill anyone. This could be said of all games. Beatrice's goal is not to make someone experience fear. It isn't to have revenge on someone either. Beatrice never committed murder for the sake of pleasure. So what's interesting about this is it removes a lot of the common motives. So she wasn't doing it for the gold.
Yeah.
And she wasn't doing it to get revenge. And she wasn't doing it because she's a psychopath. Well, right. She might be a psychopath, but she wasn't doing it because, like, yo, isn't it so fun killing all these people?
Yeah. So she had a reason to do it that wasn't just LOL XD, I'm so random.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, she's not doing it for the gold.
Yeah.
Which implies also the fact that whether someone solves the epitaph or not, she has nothing to gain to it, implies that she knows the solution to the epitaph. I mean, the gold belongs to her. Wasn't the gold given? The gold was given to Kenzo by Beatrice,
yeah, the mythos is that the gold in which Beatrice bestowed the gold upon Kenzo.
Right. Was there any conditionality upon that in the mythos, or?
The mythos is that one day Kenzo will have to pay back his debt, which story of Umineko is Beatrice is like, I'm going to collect the debt with interest, and the interest is his entire family, which is why I'm killing all of you.
Fair.
And she's like, if you can solve the epitaph in time, I won't kill you. But according to this, she didn't really care either way as to whether the epitaph was solved.
Which implies that there's more to the epitaph than just the gold.
Or at least it has some, it works into her plan somehow, but not so, in a way so where if, she if, stood to if, materially yeah. gain.
She's like, if you solve the epitaph, I won't kill you. Which implies that either, like, solving the epitaph makes someone safe. Maybe there's a way to escape the island as a result of the solution of the epitaph.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or maybe she was just feeling nice and gave him an out.
Come on, Gorny. Come on. Get the fuck out of here.
Plans an elaborate murder and goes, oh, but if they solve this really arbitrary riddle, maybe I won't kill them. Feeling a bit quirky.
She really was girl-bossing when she did that, to be fair.
Battler gets these red truths, realizing that the only person who lives to the end of every game is Battler.
Huh.
Battler is always, like, only dies, right. like, right so... at the end of the game.
Right. So, because again, this also ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, right? Of like,
yeah,
the clock strikes yeah. midnight, and it's like there were no survivors of the Rock and Jima massacre, yeah. which implies that the people still alive at the end, even though there were no survivors. So I assume they die after the game finishes.
Hmm.
So the people who live are Maria and the
Maria,
cousins.
Maria, George, Jessica, Battler.
So yeah, I don't, like... The mystery says who committed the final murders, which, like, I'm fairly sure it's Canon, who is not, in fact, dead. Whether or not Canon is dressed up as Beatrice or not, who the fuck cares? Probably are, considering the nature of things.
Battler does see Beatrice, but, like, Battler's objective vision tends to get a bit, like, kind of less trustworthy, like, around midnight for reasons. So, it's yeah.
Right.
Basically, until roughly midnight, assume Battler has objective vision. Right. And then, like, sometimes Battler will just be shown these insane witch scenes around midnight.
So, if Battler ever sees Beatrice, Battler has objective vision, that means that he is seeing not someone dressed up as Beatrice.
Okay. He could be seeing someone dressed up as Beatrice, but it was convincing enough to convince him.
Right.
And it's
if,
not...
If the only yeah. person that he's ever seen is that person dressed up as Beatrice.
Yeah.
Because he's never met the real Beatrice.
He's seen a portrait of her, and that's it. He's never met the real Beatrice.
Right. So that means that the Beatrice that he's met has to be consistent.
Yeah. So basically, it probably couldn't be Genji dressed as Beatrice because his vision is objective enough where he'd go,
right, sure,
that's Genji dressed as Beatrice.
That makes sense.
But say if it was like
Shannon or Karen.
Yeah, or if it was like Rosa, maybe, or Jessica, he could have like... Right.
So if it was a young woman dressed as Beatrice, and also the objective vision, I assume, also extends to the point that it has to be the same person dressed up as Beatrice every time.
Yeah, he'd notice if it was someone else. Yeah.
Right.
Basically, disguises are allowed as long as we're, like, prepped for them.
Sure. Disguises are allowed as long as they're consistent and make sense.
Yeah. It can't be ridiculous, like, you can't have...
Nando dressed as Beatrice.
Nando dressed as Beatrice. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
Just, wow, Beatrice, you're a lot more orb-like than I remember.
Yeah, you look a bit different than in your picture.
So I'm pretty sure the who committed the final murders is Canon dressed as Beatrice, which implies that Canon has been dressed as Beatrice the entire time. And if Canon and Shannon are the same person, then that makes Shannon being dressed as Beatrice also Canon being dressed as Beatrice, which makes that weirdly make more sense. Yeah, so it's definitely them. I don't know why. I don't know why they've killed specifically Genji, Nanjo, and Kumisawa. If Kanon's still alive, it says that there's no survivors of the Rokkenjima massacre. Is that like Red Truth tier? There are no survivors?
I think it is given at Red Truth at some point that there are no survivors. Right.
Which implies that whoever's doing the murders still dies.
So, here's what we know from the credits. When the police showed up, they initially thought it was a disappearance because they couldn't really find any bodies.
Right.
However, they eventually managed to find bits of body parts. Specifically, they found a fragment of Maria's jaw, which they identified using dental records.
Is that the only bit of body part that they found?
Because
you said bits of body parts.
Yeah, there are several unidentified body parts in the gruesome scene. However, this jaw was probably an extremely fortunate find.
What do you mean by gruesome scene? So is... Because, like, if everyone's gibbed, then that to me implies that, like, either whoever's being Beatrice either goes complete fucking psycho and starts cutting people up, or their body parts get strewn about the place because of another reason, like a fucking explosion. So is, like, when the police arrive at the scene, is, like, is everything intact?
It doesn't say.
Because, like you'd have to be a real sick fuck to, like, remove a 9-year-old's jaw intentionally. Because that could explain how everyone dies, right? Or at least how, like, if we're assuming that Canon's still alive, and that as a result of things, whatever transpires after midnight, that Canon, dressed as Beatrice, kills the people who are left. Even if they kill Maria, which... Who kills a 9-year-old? What the fuck, man? But then they would have to kill themselves. Which to me implies that maybe they didn't kill themselves. Maybe the whole place fucking exploded.
It is a remote island, so it's not impossible.
Maybe that's why it ends at midnight, because everyone then proceeds to die because the whole fucking place goes kaboom. Because, like, for a jaw specifically...
Yeah, it's quite a specific like body part.
If it was the whole head, like, you can decapitate someone, that's fine. But no one, like, de-jaws people. Right? Yeah. That's fucked.
Yeah.
De-jawing a regular person? Not great. De-jawing a 9-year-old?
Pretty fucked.
It is Maria's jaw, right?
Yeah, it is Maria's jaw, because they identify it using dental records.
Sure.
The police conclude from finding a piece of her jaw that she probably did not survive.
Yeah, that makes sense. Huh. I guarantee the identities of all unidentified corpses. Is that all unidentified corpses within this mystery, or...?
Within the 2 days of the game... Yes. Basically, right. It's because Battler keeps throwing out body double tricks, right. Saying that, like, maybe someone in the shed prepared a fake corpse before the conference and just put it there in their clothes and is just running around doing murders.
Right.
But this Red Truth stops that because it means when you discover a corpse wearing Rudolph's clothes, Beatrice, like, confirms that it is, in fact, Rudolph and not... a random corpse that's been dressed as Rudolph.
But that doesn't necessarily say that Rudolph isn't then dead. The identities of the unidentified corpses are a thing. Specifically for my point that I think that canon isn't dead when canon dies.
Right? Yeah, basically, if there's a corpse in front of you...
It is that person.
Is that person, yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily
Battler does mean... Not, Battler does not see corpse is dead. Canon's corpse. He is told about it from off-screen.
That's also very important information.
Yeah. Battler also does not see Shannon's corpse. No one
only
does other than
Hideyoshi.
Canon. Yeah. Sure. George attempts to go and see it, but is held back.
Sure.
I think Hideyoshi specifically says, Shannon would not want you seeing her like this.
Half head caved in and all.
Yeah.
If she is dead. Anyway.
Dun dun dun.
Now, how long have we been recording? An hour and a half? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, maybe we should wrap things up there. We finished episode one!
We finished episode one. It took 2 episodes.
You saw the epitaph. Well, you mostly saw the epitaph. I had to help out a bit at the end, but you saw the epitaph. I think it's impressive enough what you did with the epitaph, given you haven't played this game, and thus are working with fewer hints. Then the game basically turning to you at one point and going, have you tried looking in an atlas? And the number quadrillion sure is important. So good job. I'm so proud of you.
So does the church have something to do with it? Because you mentioned it has like
quadrillion. I suppose I'll tell you. So the way you're supposed to solve the epitaph is the quadrillion written above the church has removable letters. So you remove them, rearrange them into Lord U. And then you twist each one, and it opens a path to the gold. That's what it means by
gouging.
Yeah, it's a mechanism Kinzo specifically created to, in case he ever wanted to do a gold riddle. There is apparently an easier way to get there. I think he has like a personal key or something that he uses to like make things easier, so he doesn't have to solve a fucking riddle every time. But, like, no one else knows about it, so...
Right. Sure. Wait.
Yes!
One final thing, because I've just had a brainwave and made a connection.
Oh, no,
so,
a brain blast.
Well, because Beatrice says that if you solve the epitaph, you'll live.
Hmm.
Maybe there's not gold down there. Maybe that's where the fucking, like, mechanism for the explosives is, if that kills everyone.
So,
and if they solve the epitaph, they can turn it off.
I will say that there is definitely gold down there. We have, like, Red Truth confirmation that there is gold down there. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the only thing down there.
Both. Both of those things.
It is in an underground passageway.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Because, like, it's like, well, if you do it, you'll live for sure, because even if I don't get you, the fucking, this whole place is going up in flames. Anyway, yeah, I'm
grab your jaws.
I hold on to your jaws, kids.
It's going down.
Title of the episode. Anyway, thank you for listening.
For these beautiful times. Thank you for listening. Yeah. I've had a good time. Adam once again manages to shock me with his competence. How does he do it? You're a fucking genius.
Children's card games.
Oh,
Mathematics.
Eldritch. Thank you, everyone, and good night.